Back on your morning wake up, 1320 WILS, of course, 24/7, 365 on our website, 1320WILS.com, live streaming there, as always, with the show, all programming, and of course, the podcast, always there, virtual university of the airwaves of various subjects, including many on the political side. We're going to keep going there because that is what we do, and that includes the 2016 presidential campaign, where right now it seems like there are about 2,000 or 3,000 of the Republican Party who have at least declared or are soon to declare. Not quite. But a whopping 14 candidates have announced plans for the presidential nomination of the GOP. And the latest is Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, who made that official. We understand Governor John Kasich, Ohio, will be next. And still waiting on Scott Walker. So the more the merrier. So they say. Staff writer for The Hill, Molly K. Hooper, joining us this morning to talk about this burgeoning field. Good morning, Molly.
Good morning. It feels like 2,000 or 3,000, doesn't it?
It does. There was a point early where I was saying, okay, well, indeed, the more the merrier. But even keeping track of who has said what, where, and when on the trail, I think it's going to be really tough. Both fun and tough for those who are covering in person, the field reporters for this campaign. But just keeping track now of whose positions are where, it takes a pie chart and a infographic. It's not easy. I'm just saying it's not easy.
Yes, graphic artists are going to be very busy this season.
Yeah, no kidding. So what do you think about this group right now? And I guess the biggest question I have about it is, has anybody emerged in any way, not just in the polling, but in terms of a presence? And I mean, besides Donald Trump, who clearly has carved out his own niche. I mean, he's out there, but he's got the media, he's got the blowtorch, he's got the controversy. Whether he can get elected or not is another story.
And he's got the poll numbers, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Okay, yeah, I've heard that said.
That's right. You know, it's very interesting because the last time a primary field was so saturated was back in 1976 when the Democrats had 11 contenders. And guess who we ended up with? Jimmy Carter. So, it's very, right now it seems like the more candidates feel like they can get in the race because there isn't one front runner, the less compelling the whole field becomes. And it's great for democracy, I guess, to have so many people feel like they could be president and actually put in the time and money to run for president. But my question is, where does this end up? It's interesting because Donald Trump, he kind of feels like a Ross Perot type character. You know, he's got a lot of money, and maybe Donald Trump is more, you know, interesting props than a chart and a metal pointer, but it feels like he could upset what seems to be the person I'm hearing up here on Capitol Hill as the front runner in Jeb Bush. But people can say, oh yeah, Jeb's the front runner, but nobody really backs that up with anything. I mean, he does have the name ID, obviously, and the family, and the ability to raise money. But still, with so many contenders in the race, it's hard to say who's going to emerge finally.
So Molly, let's put a couple people in the moderate to conservative, but more on the moderate side, GOP. Let's put Jeb and Chris Christie in that box, okay? And let's let them go at it. See, I think that Chris Christie, despite the low poll numbers, when he gets going back and forth with Jeb Bush, might hold his own pretty well.
Well, and that's true. However, you're also talking about a GOP primary.
That's right.
And in order to win that primary, I mean, Jeb Bush is probably thinking, this is awesome that Chris Christie got in, because he's going to make me look like the biggest conservative up here who has a chance of winning. And, you know, Jeb Bush favors, the School Choice Act, and he favors some pretty policies that are favored by liberals. But you know, you look at somebody like Chris Christie, who people are saying he should have run back in 2012, because now he has this whole Bridgegate thing to deal with to explain away. And it's just, I think when that happened, and the fact that there are so many contenders in the race,
yep,
and also the fact that he waited until pretty much the end to jump in. It's just sort of deflating. And I saw his remarks yesterday, and unfortunately/fortunately, Donald Trump was also on television going at, Univision and
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah, right. And getting a lot of airtime for that. And you put the 51 women through hell, and I'm not going to take it. Okay, well, staff writer from The Hill, Molly K. Hooper, is with us this morning on 1320 WILS. It's a lot about timing. You mentioned 1976, and I think back to that year in my home state, there was a senator named Henry Jackson, Scoop Jackson. He ran for president. But you know what? Timing is everything. He was a Reagan Democrat. He was a Democratic. He was the embodiment of the Reagan Democrats who voted for Reagan. He was 4 years too early because he was coming out of Watergate with the Democrats going to elect somebody, but there's going to be somebody who was more like a Jimmy Carter and less like a hawk who was also for the common man like Henry Jackson. There was something that Reagan embodied that Jackson, he was 4 years too early. I'm thinking Chris Christie might be 4 years too late.
Yeah, and I do too. And it's too bad because the thing about Chris Christie is he can go up and he can say, hey, guess what? I disagree with President Obama's made all these horrible decisions over the past 7 years. And then I think to myself, okay, so why did you hug him and appear in photo ops with him, like 2 or 3 weeks before the 2012 election? After Hurricane Sandy, obviously he's a governor and he was free that. But at the same time, it just, the Mitt Romney people were thinking, what are you doing? So Chris Christie, he'll say, oh, that just shows that I'm above partisanship and I was doing what was right for the people in my state. Okay, that's great. And that's a very important point you make. However, the Republicans were in the middle of an election at that time. And, to now come out and say that President Obama was this horrible president, when all we have to do is go back and find a video of him hugging President Obama, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right, especially when he's trying to win the Republican primary.
Well, Molly, it's great to have you aboard. Here's two takeaways. Put this down in case they come true. Number one is I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That's the Trump mantra right now. But soon to be announced is when he's getting out of the race and announcing the Trump Network. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, when the Trump Network, I think the sun, moon, and stars are aligned for the Trump brand and the Trump Network. It's going to be the best in the world. It's going to be fantastic. And when it happens, it happens. I'm not taking anything away from the Donald. That's a compliment to him there.
That's actually a great idea. That's a great thought. Cause, Bloomberg is struggling in China.
Exactly. The Trump Network. He doesn't have to worry about where the beauty pageant is going to air or whether where the Apprentice or anything else. These kind of shows, he's got his own network, and he certainly has the money to get launched or at least to work in combination with others. I could see it happening. So, Molly, that's just for the future reference. Staff writer from
Thank
The Hill,
you.
Molly K. Hooper. I give her a free nugget, and she provides us with great insight here as well. It's a very much a great relationship. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, and have a great fourth.
All right, you too. More coming up here. It is the Morning Wake Up, and it is 1320 WILS.